Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to the I'm trying to like cough, getting like sick. You're listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 618. This is your host, Danny. And also, we had P in the house.
Yo.
No Paris.
Paris free
for this
today.
Episode.
You're Paris free today.
Paris free.
Is it like one of those low salt, salt free episodes?
Hopefully.
Woo.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes you could get a little cranky too.
Yeah, so I know. I need to eat a Snickers or something like that and stop being hangry or something.
Hangry. Oh, man. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or post your comments and feedback over there or go to play.it/GamerTag. And you could also find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitch, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Pete, let's talk about Black Friday. There's been reports here and there about the sales of Xbox One and also PlayStation 4. It seems that both companies did pretty good over the weekend during Black Friday, which is great. I think that's great for the industry overall, you know. So they said that Xbox beat PlayStation during Black Friday, I believe. But PlayStation 4 did pretty good overall. I think during the month of November overall, it did pretty good. So I think that's good, man.
No, absolutely. Right? I agree. I think it's a great thing. But is this a definitive report from both sides?
Well, this is just Black Friday sales, not 100% like numbers or anything like that. But we have to wait for like the MPDs coming out next month, you know. But this is like just like a preview of what they think or what the stuff that they know so far of the games and consoles that have been selling the most during Black Friday.
But I'm assuming that this combines Xbox One, Xbox One S versus PlayStation Slim / 4 versus PS4 Pro.
Yeah, I think so. That's how I think it is. It's supposed to be like that. It's the same thing with when the 360 came out. There's the Elite version. I think they combined the sales overall. And same thing with like PlayStation 3 and then the PlayStation 3 Slim, the new, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. Together. I just want to make sure that we're not just going off of, you know, just be, you know, Microsoft is known to push out the, I think that's what they did this year. They, you know, and I think they've done it in years past where they put out the press release stating their sales numbers. But I don't know if Sony has done that simply because it's just sitting back and not trying to push out that data, or are they just holding that back? I'd like to see, and obviously the definitive number will be when we see the MPDs coming out in a week or two. So that'll give us a better idea. I still think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, PlayStation still has the lead overall for 2016.
Overall, sales. Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, this is definitely a marked uptick. And I like the consistency over, what is it, five, almost 6 months now?
I believe it's four. I think it's four, or maybe, I don't know. It's like between three or four around there for Xbox.
Xbox One has been the best-selling console in the U.S. for the past 4 months.
Oh, 4 months? There
okay.
you go. Okay.
All right. I was close. I'm rereading it now, you know, as we're discussing. So that is really good. But it still says, you know, PlayStation 4 is still the top-selling console, which at the end of the day, I mean, this is, I guess, the season that both Sony and Microsoft are really, really waiting for, because this is when I guess most of their sales is going to be for the calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the way from now to close to Christmas, basically.
Right.
That's when they're going to sell more consoles. Yeah. But here's the thing, too. Like, I know PlayStation were in the same situation that Xbox 360 was like number one for months and months, and then Sony made some changes and it helped the console. to get a lot of new gamers to buy the PlayStation 3 at that time. So, you know, it's great. When I see both companies doing really good, I think that's super, super great, man. You know, as a gamer, the more competition, the better for us, you know. So the thing that I want to know is what's going on with Nintendo. I know that Nintendo been doing really, really good with the Pokemon game, the Sun and Moon.
Right.
Supposedly this, based on the press release that they sent out, this is the fastest selling game in Nintendo's history in the Americas. It sold 3.7 million in less than 2 weeks. That's insane. Insane. So, yeah, 3DS is not dead. Plus, they're selling the handheld for $99 too at different retail stores.
Right. So, and then you still have, yeah. And then you have the crazy demand for the Mini NES Classic Edition, which at this point, if you haven't gotten it, you're either paying five times the value of it, and I think some people were selling it for, I think at one point last week, the average sale price on eBay was about $230 to $250.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, I guess, akin to the unicorn. If you see it, it's a miracle, and you better grab it while you can if you're willing to shell out the coin.
I was lucky enough to buy it at Walmart at midnight,
right.
And there was, you know, 30 people or so there. So I got really, really lucky. But I know people that have been in line for multiple hours, for a lot, just there waiting. And once they go inside, they don't have any left. So I believe Paris is probably going to be hunting, looking for one over the weekend. I mean, I wish them luck.
Yeah. I probably should have done the same thing, but I think I'm too cantankerous and lazy to go out and sit in a line for this. I mean, as it is, I have a struggle with game time with what I currently have between PC and Xbox and PlayStation. I don't think I need a fourth console in my life right now. And I think this might even bleed over to Nintendo Switch time. I just don't know if I have enough free time to play all these games. It's a great problem to have. In a sense, I guess I just have way too much or not enough free time on my hands. Or maybe I should go to the gym less, right?
So, the Game Awards is going to have multiple world premieres, mm-hmm. With over 5 minutes of like gameplays and also surprises in store happening tonight. I know by the time people listen to the podcast, you know, it's going to be, you know, Thursday night and everything. Mm-hmm. Stuff. So, the Game Awards, a lot of premieres. I'm wondering, where are they going to show? Some people saying Borderlands 3, maybe a new Duke Nukem game. I know Nintendo is probably going to be showing, you know, some Legend of Zelda stuff. So, man, I'm thinking, what are they going to show? I know we talked about this a couple of days ago, but
yeah, and apparently it looks like it's possible what I was talking about in the last show, which is a new Duke Nukem, potential Borderlands 3. Are you going to be watching it on Twitch or YouTube or one of those?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching it through either YouTube or whatever Xbox is going to have on the front page of the dashboard. Mm-hmm. That's what I did last time. So, yeah, I mean, Twitch, I don't know. I'd rather watch it like on YouTube than Twitch when it comes to that stuff. I don't know.
Why?
Because I had a, maybe they, I mean, maybe they fixed and everything, but when there's like a very long, long stream, automatically like commercials just pop up on Twitch. I don't know. Maybe it was like that the old way, but it happened to me a couple of times when I watched the older Game Awards.
You know how you might be able to get away with that? I know. Because if you've got Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to channels and get the premium stuff. So here's a workaround, and it's probably not going to come out in time for some of our listeners to use this as an opportunity. But they can use it for future stuff. You can get one free subscription per month if you've got Amazon Prime to the channel of your choice. So, for example, I know like Steve Aoki, the house DJ, is currently on Twitch right now playing Overwatch with Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. He's the lead singer. So if, let's say, I wanted to subscribe to Steve Aoki's channel and I've got Amazon Prime, I can log in and use that 1 month subscription. Boom. get subscribed to his channel for that month. I don't have to worry about, I get premium status. I don't have to worry about ads or commercials.
I do have Prime. Man, I should take advantage of it.
Something to consider. And, it helps you get away from having to deal with ads or commercials. You get those premium options. So not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all, man. All right. So GameStop posted this article. They had an interview with, I believe, one of the EA execs over there. And they'll talk about like games and all that stuff, the sales. And one of the conversations that they brought up was, driving to a store to buy games may soon be a thing of the past. Pete, we've been saying this for a very long time, and there was even listeners that got really mad that I was like, hey, digital is the future. They didn't like that. Some even went to our iTunes page and gave us a bad review just because of that conversation. So congratulations, listener out there. I think it's true, man. That's going to be a thing in the past, man. The whole going to the store, driving to buy a game at midnight. Nah, I'd rather just stay home and just download it. It's a lot easier for me.
Right.
A lot easier. And I had this conversation with Paris a couple of episodes ago. We talked about that in a way, I do miss the whole midnight launch. You get to the store at midnight, you see a bunch of gamers lined up and everything. Like, I really, really miss that. I haven't done that in a very long time. And it's because I'm always downloading the games.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts about this conversation that finally they're talking about it even more now, the whole, EA and other people in the industry?
I can't argue it. I mean, I'd much rather prefer digital right now over physical. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I probably would have been counter to that. I know sitting right behind me is my console cabinet, and I've got two levels deep of two shelves filled with Xbox 360 games that I probably should have done and traded in and gotten some kind of value for it. They may be worthless at this point, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, besides the environmental benefits of going digital, and the way cost of portable storage is dropping, daily.
By a lot.
Yeah. And see, my original concern with, connecting, let's say, like I've got a 3 terabyte Seagate drive connected to my Xbox One. It's 3 terabyte or 4 terabyte. I can't remember. I think I only paid like $100 for it like 2 years ago or a year ago. And my concern was, okay, well, if I'm going to put games on there, is it going to perform any slower, or is it going to perform slower simply because it's going through USB and not through either the SATA connection that I'm assuming is a SATA connection that interfaces the hard drive to the Xbox OS. And so I did a couple of test runs. The first couple of games that I got, I was like, when I was playing Destiny on Xbox One, I kept that on the local hard drive, and I would shovel the rest of the slower or the lesser performing games. I'd move them over off, kind of like, was it Dragon's Age or things like that. I would move those over to, the hard drive, games that I wouldn't play commonly. Now I just let it do it naturally because I've come to realize that it you don't really realize how fast that it's actually running. It's actually running optimally, and there is no performance lag, if anything. So, hey,
yeah, and even I haven't done this. I've transferred like the game through the Xbox One console to the hard drive that I have. And I still could play the game. You wouldn't even notice the difference at all while it's transferring everything, which is crazy. I've done that many times too.
Yep.
But one of the conversations they brought up was, and from during this interview, is that like in books, music, film, and TV, we see that consumer will ultimately consumes game digitally, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And this, we're probably going to see more people downloading games over the next 5 years. They're saying that more people are going to be downloading full games, and finally, probably in the future around that time, EA is probably going to reach maybe 50% of the consumers downloading games digitally instead of just going to the store and stuff. So, but one of the things they do say that they have to be really, really careful on this because of the whole relationship that they have with their realtor partners and everything. But it's very, very important to mix it a little bit, you know, have some games or maybe sell some card games, like for digital cards mm-hmm. at the stores. So at least they could have that strong relationship with their retail partners and stuff. So, and at the same time, gamers could have a choice. They could buy online through the console, just go to, let's say, Best Buy and buy the card or even buy the disc through there too, you know. But I think we're going to see less disc at the stores, but they're still going to have that just to have that relationship. It's still there, you know?
Well, at the end of the day, there's still people who are always going to have, who aren't going to have as much performance or internet availability as others, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's because of where you live, either in the United States where you just don't have hard wire, you have to rely on maybe satellite internet. If you're living in some place like maybe in Alaska or up in the wilderness and you just don't have, you know, you don't have 150 meg down, you know, at your home, or maybe you live on an island where, you know, you're capped at, you know, 50 gigs, right? That's barely enough to get a single game these days. I think we had a listener a couple of months ago from fan mail who was asking that same question about his PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And like, he's got limited time when he's down here in the States. So he tries to download as much as possible while he's here to take advantage of the fact that when he has to go back, overseas, you know, he just plays locally. Those are things that have to be, you know, you have to take into consideration.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So,
and here's the thing too. Remember when the Xbox 360 came out, when it was the 20 gig hard drive? I think a lot of people bought that cheap version, that cheaper console mm-hmm. at that time. And you know, now with the new consoles, when they launched, it was 500 gigs. But now it seems that 1 terabyte is like the standard. Like that's like what everybody feels comfortable now. Mm-hmm. Instead of just the 500 gigs, you know? So, but at least there's an option people to buy that or buy the 1 terabyte console too. So,
well, I think the way as technology and people get comfortable with downloading the games, and as this whole trend towards, you know, digital only and, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's better for the environment as well. As long as the players themselves are not experiencing any performance degradation on their game, I think it benefits everybody as a whole. I do mm-hmm. think that publishers should be providing a discount to players if they're buying it digital versus you know having to pay the premium of getting a physical disc. You know, you're not worrying about, you know, plastic cases and, you know, printing out, you know, special instructions for these games and all of the other, you know, like, you know, Xbox Live trial cards that sit inside these things and other advertisements to buy games or other accessories or products. So maybe do what Blizzard did with the digital edition of Overwatch, where you got it for $40, but people who wanted to buy it for PlayStation or Xbox had to pay full price. Yeah. So I think in that respect, I think the industry needs to make a decision and, you know, accept the fact that you're not going to spend as much.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. All right, so we have this email from Christian. He's from Pennsylvania. He wrote, "Hello from a fellow Latino. It's good to hear our people represent in the video game community such as the way you guys are doing. Two quick questions. One, the only time that I generally remember my wife enjoying a video game was a game called 1 vs. 100. Remember that, Pete? One versus 100?
I do.
On the Xbox, Xbox it was like Live. During the
Xbox Live only. I don't think it was available for physical disc, though.
That's true. Years ago. It was a lot of fun, and I'm wondering, is there ever going to be a new version to this game coming soon? I know there's been conversation about that, like maybe a year or 2 years ago. Somebody asked that to Phil Spencer on Twitter, and he said the same thing, that he loves it, but they're thinking probably like new ideas, maybe similar to One versus 100, but I really doubt that they're going to bring back that game. But tell you the truth, it seemed really, really cool at that time. Like, it was ahead of its time too. And it was something totally different that everybody could play at any time. And when they have like the special game show that you could also compete and win prizes, mm-hmm. I love that. That was a lot of fun. I hope they bring it back again, man. Nobody else was doing that. So, all right. And my other question is, there ever a chance of you spotlighting or maybe entering the growing culture of competitive fighting in Dominican Republic? It's blowing up over there. Thanks and keep up the great podcast. Thanks, man. To my fellow Dominicanos out there. Yeah. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. I know that the gaming community over there is pretty, pretty huge. But I didn't know that they had like tournaments and all that stuff over there too. So if there's a way for me to know more about this, send me the information about that, Christian. I would like to do more research. And who knows, maybe it will take a trip over there, right, Pete?
Well, my question,
DR.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been there a couple of times, and I love going to DR. My question is this competitive fighting in a video game, or is he talking like UFC, MMA type?
No. Competitive fighting, like competition.
I don't
like
know.
Street
I'm looking at the email, so I don't know. I need clarification, Christian. Talk to me. Are we talking mixed martial arts? This is a video game question.
There's no way we're going to be talking about MMA. We don't talk about MMA.
Hey, I just need clarification. The email was not clear.
Christian, I know what you're saying. I know you're talking about the tournament. Pete thinking MMA. He's thinking about blood and all that stuff.
I'm salty. I'm angry. I'm pissed. See, you got me heated now. See what happens? It's all your fault, Danny.
Oh, my God. All right, Pete, you want to read another one?
Yes. Actually, I responded back to him via email, but I think it's a good question. I think we can ask. Hi, fellas. First off, I love the show. This is from Omar from Philly. Wait, that's two from Philly. Oh, we got some PA love going here.
Woo!
All right,
Philly in the house.
I you know what? Just side tangent real quick. I was at the Philly airport. And I had to get a Philly steak and cheese. And I need to know from our Philly listeners, is Gino's the de facto one? And is it provolone or is it Cheese Whiz? What's the better cheese for a true Philly cheesesteak? I need to know because I've gotten conflicting information through all my research. All right, so back to the action.
That was so random.
I know. Well, back to the fan mail. Because, hey, when you're in Philly, you have to have a Philly cheesesteak. And I didn't have a chance on my layover to, like, leave the airport and come back. So I had to have, like, a Philly cheese there while I was at the airport. And so it was all right.
Okay.
All right. First off, love the show. You guys are the equivalent of the Howard Stern Show of Gaming Podcasts.
So who's the Howard Stern? The characters, Pete? What about Paris? Who Paris is?
Bubba
from the Howard Stern Show.
He would be Bubba Booey. We could end the show like that, but we're gonna go to his question. With a busy schedule, so many new games coming out, and an unhealthy addiction to Destiny, I feel like many games get overlooked. Are there any games of the most recent generation, Xbox One and PlayStation 4, that you think may have been overlooked or got a bad rap when they first came out but were actually pretty good? Are there any games you plan on trying out that you may have initially never got a chance to play? I feel Halo 5 fits into this category due to the well-deserved hate on Halo 5's single-player campaign, but the multiplayer is easily one of the best experiences out there. Thanks, Omar.
Agreed.
From Philly. So for me personally, and I'll just read what I responded back to Omar, I can only speak for myself, but Titanfall 2 is that one title that most recently comes to mind. Phenomenal single-player campaign and one of the smoothest, most enjoyable multiplayer experiences of 2016. And if you haven't had a chance, I think it was like $30 this past weekend for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the retailers are just going to extend these quote unquote sales in an effort to continue, you know, getting money. If you haven't had a chance to pick it up, I highly recommend Titanfall.
I have some good news about that.
Talk to me, bro.
This weekend, you could try out Titanfall 2 multiplayer for free all weekend long. Mm. Try it out, take advantage. And if you like this game, when you play over the weekend, buy it. The game is phenomenal. I'm going to be straight up with you. I think the campaign is the best campaign that I played all year long.
There you go.
Best, in my opinion. But multiplayer-wise, is legit, and you could play this for free.
Are you
only this weekend? So take advantage of it, because I received this press release from EA a couple days ago, and I'm like, that's good, man. They're really, really pushing this to the masses. So this is like a great way for people to play for the first time. You know.
All right. So my question is, are you? And I think we've got this lined up for another show coming up. Mm-hmm. Game of the year.
We have to talk about that next time. Because I have a lot of other games here that fits a category.
Mm.
Yeah. But Timefall, it's there. Part of my list.
All right.
It's up there.
All right.
Contender.
All right.
Contender game of the year for sure. But yeah, that's good that you mentioned Timefall too, man. Cause that's a game that I also feel the same way about it, man. A lot of people slept on it. And I know we had this conversation in the past because of the whole Battlefield 1 and then Call of Duty. It was like too many games too that came out around that time, and maybe people just slept on that game, you know, but we'll see.
And another one that I think I'm going to drop out on, either Civilization 6. That game
that people overlook, man. That game's been selling, dude.
And it's highly rated. If you look at the reviews from, you know, all of the other sites and stuff like that, me personally, that's taken up my time. Even though I'm trying to focus on Battlefield 1, which we just got, I keep getting drawn back to my PC to play Civilization 6. And even though, and I know that this game coming up that I'm about to say is highly rated, and there's been a crap ton of marketing. We saw, actually Paris and I saw a lot of this in France 2 weeks ago, Dishonored 2.
Ooh. You know, I'm not going to lie. I've been sleeping on that game. I'm going to be straight
really
up with you.
Good game. Especially the way you have to change the way you play your game from the main character, or if you're switching over to playing as Corvo. You have to really adjust the way you play, because some of the way they use their talents and abilities just change the way the game is done. It's a really good game.
All right, so we have another email here. This is from Jonathan. Hey, guys, I hope you had a great holiday. I hope you too, man. I recently bought a 4K TV this Black Friday, and I'm a big PlayStation guy. I was wondering if you guys think there will be a deal with GameStop or Best Buy or somewhere else that I could trade my current PlayStation 4 in towards a PlayStation 4 Pro. I got the Destiny bundle PS4 at the moment, which runs fine. I was wondering if I'm losing a lot of with it compared to the PlayStation 4 Pro. Also, I got a 50-inch TV. I read somewhere that you won't really get the 4K experience unless you have a 55 to 60-inch TV. I believe 4K, of course. What do you guys think about that? Thanks, and as always, thanks for all you guys do, and love your show. Enjoy the holidays coming. Thanks for the email, Jonathan, and you too, man. Enjoy the holidays, man. Take advantage of all the games that's been coming out and so on. Pete, you're an expert of the whole 4K craze.
Yep.
What do you think about this question, man?
Hopefully, if you're a Sony guy, obviously you're a big PlayStation fan. Hopefully you got a Sony, because you have the built-in remote play feature on the TV. I get that. I actually get that capability. So if I wanted to play in my living room, I can, you know, because I've got my I've got a Sony Bravia. But yes, as far as the distance, either distance or the size of your TV screen does make a difference. Anything over 55 to 60 inches, I think it's 50 to 55 inches is the max you should be going on a 1080p screen. So if you're going to go larger, you're really only going to see that benefit once you get to that 60, 65 inch plus size. Obviously, if you go with a 43 or 45 or 48 inch, obviously it's not going to cause any issues. The pixel density is just going to be a little bit tighter. So that's a positive experience. Typically, with regards to the trade-in value, I don't know. Ordinarily, I would recommend maybe the GameStops, but GameStop typically and traditionally gives you not as much as you would want for it, because obviously they've got to resell it. I know Best Buy has some options that they've done. As far as figuring out who's going to give you the best options, honestly, I would probably say scour the internet. I don't know of anybody off the top of my head that's had,
well, you know, go to CAG, GPD's website.
Okay. Yeah. Cheapassgamer.com.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they don't have anything on their site, I'm sure if you go through their forums, and lurk long enough, you could probably find something. Reddit or NeoGAF is probably another probably decent resource that you can go. I think Amazon might be. I think the last check was maybe $150 to $125 for credit value of when you return them, either at Amazon or Best Buy. So something to think about as well.
All right. So read the last email, Pete.
What is this email?
This one, help deciding, please.
Help deciding, please. Okay.
That's the last one. Right.
Sorry. So this last one is from Wayne over at the UK. Hey guys, I currently have an Xbox One S, but would like to complement it with some form of PC. Unfortunately, I don't have the room for a full desktop build, so I've been thinking of buying an Alienware laptop so I can enjoy those mouse and keyboard PC titles I can't get on console. Another thought is to buy something like an Alienware Alpha, nice and small, and use Steam in-home streaming so I can stream to my laptop, which could be another option. What do you guys think? Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks again for all the hard work and hope you have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. A bit early, but thought I'd get that in.
Thanks, Wayne. All the way to the UK. Huh, Pete? There's a lot of gamers that have been in this same situation, man. Like, they probably don't have enough space to get a huge desktop. Do you think a laptop, an Alien laptop, will be perfect for him, or no?
Either, I mean, any of the options given by whether it's Alienware or Origin PC, Main Gear, Razer, if you can even find them, because I think those are probably the hottest selling ones. They're going to give you the best options. Also depends on your budget, how much you're willing to shell out for these things. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Razer Blade gives you a 1060 video along with the Core i7 processor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's about $1,700 to $1,800 off the top of my head. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, it's $1,800. But you get full HD. You may not be playing Witcher 3 on Ultra, but you're going to be playing really close, considering it's got a built-in 1060.
Is it upgradable too, or no?
No. See, no? Okay. That's the unfortunate thing if you're trying to go with a laptop. Now, if you want to go with maybe a smaller tier machine, you can probably either build one or buy one from one of those said manufacturers, whether it's Origin PC or Main Gear, Alienware, or if you just want to go with just a straight, you know, a Steam machine itself, you know, because you can buy, you know, either a smaller form factor machine that'll handle what you can do. And at the end of the day, obviously, I know what, if Paris was here, he would say what I'm about to say. Go to PC Part Picker or Logical Increments. That's the site I usually like to go to. Pick the budget that you have. If you're feeling adventurous and froggy and you want to jump into maybe building it yourself. I think one of our listeners did that a couple of weeks ago. He jumped into the deep end of the PC build process, was able to do that, and he built out his PC.
And he loves it. He loves it too, right?
I still want build picks though. Give me build picks. I want to see all the bad cable management and everything, because I know that's what happens on the first build. So, but yeah, I think that's a great opportunity as well. I mean, it gives you a skill that you can use moving forward throughout your life. It doesn't hurt to learn how to do that. And it also helps you be able to troubleshoot that later on in the future. And then you don't have to drop it off at Best Buy and get slammed for fake antivirus and you have malware complaints and you have to spend money to try to get it fixed. It gives you a good opportunity to troubleshoot and learn how the PC works.
All right. So remember, listeners, keep on sending those questions, voicemails, everything. And we'll definitely later in the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This weekend, like I said, Game Awards and also PlayStation Experience, we're probably going to be recording something over the weekend about the events, so stay tuned about that. And that's it. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes and share it with your friends.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And yes, send us emails and all that good stuff. We'll definitely play on the show. And I'm excited, Pete, because the holidays is coming. So that means more time for us to play all these games that we've been getting for the past couple weeks now, you know, so. And anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
I think I want to dedicate this show to our good friend, Karina. She's going through some struggles right now. I don't want to put her business out there, but we're thinking about you. You're in our prayers. Be strong.
Yeah, much love to you and the fam, Karina. We love you. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.